We've been in this series, Loved by Jesus, Love Like Jesus. And we've been looking at different stories in the Bible of people that Jesus loved. And not just people that he loved, but specifically how he loved them. So that we can learn how to love like Jesus loves. And this morning we're going to look at what I call loving the children. And it's a text out of Mark chapter 10, a very brief text, but I think it says a lot about how God wants us to live. Now, when I first mapped this series out, I originally called this message Loving the Unimportant. But then I thought about it and I said, that's not possible because there are none of those. And sometimes it's, and the title Loving Those That You Think Are Unimportant was just too long. But I think it's important that we realize at the onset of this that every person that we encounter, regardless of age, regardless of nationality, regardless of income, regardless of anything you fill in the blank, is important. And so when we look at loving the children in the Heart of a Child devotion, when I was writing that book a number of years ago, I would state throughout it at various times, as you pray for a child of any age, including your age, go on. And I think when we look at this idea of loving the children, I think I should add that same disclaimer. When you love children of any age, including your age, this is what it looks like. Because sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the child within us is God's child, regardless of how far along we've reached chronologically. And I want us to look at that story in Mark chapter 10 and consider what Jesus did. I spent all week and I kept trying to look at these points that I wanted to bring out and bring in supporting scripture, and it was as if God kept saying, no. Let this text speak for itself. Let the actions of Jesus speak loudly. And so Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. What a powerful word picture. I love Mark's description of it the best because he uses these words like Jesus was indignant with them. I mean, Jesus was frustrated. It was just this reaction, this mindset that says, wait a minute. What do you think you're doing? And then the text says that Jesus rebuked them. But what does it look like to love like Jesus loves, specifically when it comes to children of any age, including your age? I think the secret is found in that last verse. Jesus took them in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. So this morning we're going to use that word bless. And that'll be our outline. And so we're going to look at some practical ways that God would have us to bless them. Now, I know in our culture that doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, we'll say bless you when somebody sneezes. Down in the South particularly, they'll use this phrase, bless your heart. And it's usually not all that complimentary. It's just kind of writing off the fact that you really don't know what you're talking about, bless your heart. And so when we think of bless them, and we use it in the context, it doesn't sound as powerful as what it did when Jesus took them in their arms, in his arms, and blessed them. When you want to understand exactly what Jesus was doing, if you want to understand the power of loving children in such a way that we bless them, it's important that we recognize the power of the blessing in the days of Jesus in the nation of Israel and among the people. One of the most powerful stories that I think that we can look at in the Bible is the blessing of Jacob. In a way, tricked his dad into blessing him instead of Esau. And when, after Jacob is blessed by his father, Esau comes in and he realizes that he's missed out. And he cries out, "Oh, Father, bless me too." Because he realized the power and the promises contained in that blessing. And so when I hear of Jesus blessing the children, I think of the power and the promises that he gives. And so we're going to look at five things that I believe help us to bless the children and to bless one another. And in a lot of ways, these are all connected. They're almost different ways of saying the same thing. But I think we need to hear it. You see, when the disciples were trying to keep the children away from Jesus, my mind might always picture them, if not verbally saying it, at least thinking, "Jesus, you're too important, and they're too unimportant to bother with." And I think it was that attitude that Jesus was upset about and rebuked the disciples. Because in the mind of Jesus, in the mind of God, every person, as I've said already, is important. And the first thing that I want us to consider as we bless them is that we believe in them. It's not quite the same thing as believing them, because sometimes, well, children of any age, including yours, don't tell the truth. But we still believe in them. Part of the blessing that God wanted to give to his children and continues to want to give to his children is that promise that we can belong, that we can be a part of his family. That there's nothing that we've done, there's nothing that anyone else has done that would exclude us from his forgiveness, from his welcoming us home. Stories throughout the scripture, that I think of the story of the prodigal son who in his mind had gone too far, could never be a son again, and yet the father is waiting with open arms because the father still believed in him. And when we think about the children in our life, regardless of what age they are, do we believe in them enough to value who they are? Do we speak words of belief? Or do our words kind of tear them down? Words of belief that sound like, "You can do this. Keep at it. Don't give up. You're strong enough. You're smart enough." You see, when we speak those words that say, "We believe in you," educational studies have shown that that is a powerful thing. Most students in school will achieve the grade level that they believe others believe they can meet. And so as we bless the children in our lives, do we believe in them? And we'll talk a little bit more in these next points about what that really looks like. And so we bless them by believing in them. We bless them by loving them. That's probably the obvious one out of it, sort of. Because then it says, well, what does that mean? Well, sure, I love children. Sure, I love people. And Jesus comes along and says, there's no greater love than a person would lay down their life for a friend. You see, loving people the Jesus way says that what you need is more important than what I need. Now notice I said need, not want, and there is a difference. If we're simply giving people everything they want, in adulthood we call that enabling. In children we call it spoiling. And so there's a difference between sacrificing ourselves for what they need versus sacrificing ourselves for what they want. But we bless them when we love them enough to give of ourselves so that they can have what they need. When I think of that, the story of my grandmother comes to mind every time. My grandmother Lemler, when we would have family meals, and it wasn't all that often, but that included the grandparents and extended family, she would always choose, it was just fried chicken, that was kind of the thing in those type of meals. She would always choose to have the fried chicken feet. And I always see, she would say, I love these. These are my favorite. And as a little kid, it didn't make any sense. I mean, I didn't know. Okay, so they're her favorite. We'll save them for her. That's a kind and generous thing to do. But as I got older and I realized there's nothing on them except the breading and whatever were fried them in. And then it dawned on me, I eventually matured enough to realize she didn't really like them. She wanted to make sure her children and grandchildren had enough to eat. And do we love children enough of any age to say, I will sacrifice, I will do without, I will step back so that you can have what you need? You see, when I talk about children of any age, that's not just the little ones, although it includes them. That's all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we willing to give of ourselves when we see someone in need? James writes and he says, what good is your faith if you see someone in need and you have the means to help and yet you say, oh, peace to you, go your way. Be warm and well fed, good luck, and do nothing about it. The obvious answer is that does no good. And so we bless people, we bless children when we love them by our actions, by our deeds, by our willingness to sacrifice so that they can prosper. Not prosper necessarily by the standards of the world, but prosper as a child of God. That they would grow in faith. Do we love children enough to spend time with them, to teach them, to listen to them? One of the things that I think we all discover as we grow in life is that the greatest measurement of love is often our time, because that's the thing that's in the shortest supply. We often think money's in the shortest supply, and if you look at your bank account, you'll say, what is he talking about, time? Money's gone. But there are generally ways to earn more money. We may not like it. We may get tired of working. We may not like the idea of having to have another job, but there is nothing you can do to earn more time. What we've been given has been given equally, and we have to choose. Do we love enough to give of that limited amount of time to someone else, specifically to children? So we love the children when we bless them by believing in them, by loving them, by encouraging them. This kind of is an outgrowth of the believing in them. But we encourage them, and we're going to do a double E here in the bless, and so you get two for the price of one. It's like Wheel of Fortune. If you buy a vowel, you get however many there are. You don't have to pay extra. Okay? And so we encourage them as we equip them. And so we teach, we love, we tell them that we believe in them. We give those words of affirmation. As Jesus took the children into his arms, it says he touched them. And how many times throughout Scripture do you see Jesus encountering people and touching them? And I know in our culture that gets really weird because there are people out there that touch inappropriately, and so we're afraid. And then COVID comes along and then we're even more afraid. But it really has to do with entering into their life in a way that's meaningful. We can touch people without ever having physical contact by our words, by our attitude, by the way that we listen. You see, we encourage when we believe in them. We encourage when we listen. We encourage when we speak words of value. One of the greatest things that we can do for one another is to do what Paul writes, and he says, to encourage one another as long as it is called today. Now, when isn't it today? It's always today. I mean, we can talk about yesterday, we can talk about tomorrow, but we're not there. You see, where we're at is out of microphone. This has been a fun thing. It cuts in and out, and that's probably the longest it's gone completely out. We're just going to do this. We've got a replacement on order, but, you know, the supply chain isn't as fast as we'd like it to be. Anyhow. But we love and we equip when we spend time believing that they're valuable enough to put time into. As Jesus took them in his arms, he touched them, he brought them to himself. And even though the disciples were standing back and saying, "Stay away, you're not important enough," Jesus was encouraging them to come. And he goes so far as to say, as a matter of fact, they have it more accurately than the rest of you. How encouraging is it to hear someone say, "They're the person that knows what they're doing"? And Jesus says, these children, they're the ones that know what they're doing. And unless you have faith, unless you come to me like a little child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow, what a shock. Can you imagine? It's another one of those cases, and there are a lot of them. I'd love to have video. And this time, not necessarily video of the interaction of Jesus and the children. I want video of the faces of the disciples. When Jesus says, "Unless you come to me like one of these, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." What did he say? Did he say we're not on the right track? That doesn't sound right. But we bless them when we encourage them and we say, "You're on the right path. You have what it takes." As I said, that E, we bought both E's in the letter, and we equip them. We all need teaching. We all need training. None of us are perfect in our knowledge. And that's part of our responsibility of loving children, is we equip them, not just with what they need to know educationally in reading and math and science, but spiritually in the things of God's Word. And we equip them to love like Jesus loves by loving them like Jesus loves. We generally learn a lot better, at least most of us do, by watching somebody do it. And when we watch Jesus love children, we see that he believes in them. We see that he loves them. We see that he encourages, equips them. But we also see that, well, he sees them. We love children when we open our eyes and see that they exist. How can we believe in them if we ignore them? How can we believe in them if we pretend they're not here? We live in a culture that I'm afraid is filled with children who are unseen. And it doesn't take very much time reading the news to see the results of that. It's easy to blame the children because they can't stand up for themselves, when in fact it's more of a society problem of not paying attention. So what does it look like to love like Jesus loves and see those that feel they are unseen? The disciples wanted to keep these children out of sight. This old saying back in my generation that children should be seen and not heard. Well, the disciples were taking that another step and said they shouldn't even be seen. And Jesus notices. And what do you do when you see children, when you notice children? I'm guessing there's some of you that kind of throw up your arms and you run the other way as fast as you can. Maybe even if they're your children. But especially if they're somebody else's that you don't know and you don't want to deal with that. You don't know what they want, what they need, what they're... But Jesus noticed. And one of the greatest things that we can do when we see children is to make sure they know that they are seen. And you want to know one of the easiest ways to do that? Get down on their level. Make them feel like you're even. And that's true whether the child is this age or this age. Now, for me, it's hard to get on their level if they're this age. But to do what we can to make sure they are seen. As everyone was trying to push the children away, Jesus says, no. Bring them to me. And he says he gathered them in his arms. He brought them to himself. When we love like Jesus loves, we learn to see those who feel unseen so that they know that they are seen by God. When we learn to look, you'll be amazed at what you see. Over the years, I've had a variety of different vehicles, and I would see something that would catch my eye and the price would be right, which is really difficult to get both of those to match up. And I think, well, that's kind of a unique vehicle. I don't think I've ever seen one just like that, that same color, the same style. And I would buy it. And then every other vehicle I would pass on the road would be just like it. Because my mind had been trained to look for that, to see that. It's not that all of a sudden there were more of them. I was just deciding to see. And I think the same's true when we look for those that are overlooked. That's where we started this whole series, and I said at that time that that's foundational because almost every one of these categories in this series will involve some person, some group who feels overlooked. And we love like Jesus loves when we begin to see people like he sees them. And we make them feel valuable just by noticing. Finally, we love people like Jesus loves. We love children specifically like Jesus loves. When we believe in them, when we love them, when we encourage and equip them, when we see them, but also when we serve them. Now, I know that sounds really awkward. They're kids. You know, we assign them chores. What do you mean I'm supposed to serve them? And yet Jesus says that he did not come to be served, but to be servant of all. And again, this is kind of like the other points that I've talked about. There is balance and there is boundaries. This isn't about doing whatever they want. It isn't about enabling bad behavior. It isn't about spoiling, if you want to use that term. It's about saying we love enough to serve according to their need. One of the greatest difficulties in churches across the United States, and we're no different, is finding people who are willing to serve children by teaching, by spending time. You saw probably a number of the kids leaving for junior church, and they have a Bible lesson during the time that I'm up here preaching. And it can be difficult to find enough people who want to go back and teach and to help and to work. And we serve when we give of ourselves for the good of someone else. And it kind of cuts across the board. We've been taught, at least I have, from the time, earliest memories that I have, that I'm the one that's important. Some of you are old enough to remember some of those advertising slogans, "Have it your way." Because what you want is what's most important. And it carries through everything in life. But God says, wait a minute. It's not about your way, it's about my way. And if my son comes to earth to live as an example, to be sacrificed as the ultimate pure Lamb of God, and he says that his purpose is to serve, why would our purpose be any different? Why would our purpose be any higher or greater or more about us? You see, we bless the children when we serve the children according to their need. Maybe they just need somebody to listen to them. Maybe they need someone to see them. Maybe they need someone to encourage and equip them. Maybe they need someone to believe in them, to simply love them for who they are. All while representing Jesus. All while making Jesus known. You see, as I looked at this series and began to map it out, even though it's just a few short verses, it's not this huge, drawn-out encounter that we see that Jesus has with some individuals in the Bible. Perhaps it's the most powerful one. Because it's about you. And it's about me. Those children that Jesus took in his arms and blessed them. I believe it wasn't just those there that day. I believe that describes how Jesus loves you and how he loves me. There are times every week, multiple times, where I can feel and know that Jesus has taken me in his arms and blessed me. Not because I've deserved it, but because he's noticed that I need it. And when we begin to see one another with those eyes, children of God, whether they're infants or whether they're 90 years old or more. We serve. I don't know if you noticed, and she probably won't be happy that I point this out, but I'm up front. Last week we announced and applauded Charlotte because she was here on her 90th birthday. And we had a baptism, and as Charlotte's custom has been for a lot of years, she simply got up and went back to help. She always has. Because she noticed, she loves, she serves. And I keep thinking there's so much about Charlotte that I want to be when I grow up. And it's not just Charlotte. There's so many in this church, there's so many that I've encountered in life that serve as those examples. Not because they're any better than I am or anyone else, but because they've learned in different ways how to love like Jesus loves. And God uses all of us together. It's one of the reasons why we've put such a big emphasis over these past few months on fellowship. Because God uses us all together to love people like Jesus loves. Today, as you consider what it looks like to love the children, how will you bless them? Will you take God's word to heart? Will you take the example of Jesus? Will you learn to believe them? Believe in them? Will you learn to love, to encourage, equip, to see, and to serve? As we come to a time of decision, I believe God has called each of us to say yes. If you're here outside of Christ, perhaps that yes is to say, yes, I surrender. I want to have my sins washed away. I want to belong fully to Jesus. I want to know with certainty that I am blessed by Jesus simply because he loves me. For most in this room, we've made that decision. And today's decision probably has something to do with how will you love children. It won't be the same as what the person sitting next to you does. God's gifted us uniquely and individually so that we can meet all the needs. And so if we all served in the exact same way, this would get done, but this over here probably wouldn't. And so it's a thing between you and God. How will you bless them? With your words, with your life, with your service. If you have a decision to make today that you need to make publicly, you're welcome to do that. Regardless, I pray that you would make a decision that you would love like Jesus loves. Would you stand as we sing?